Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to our podcast, Inside Athletics. A chance for you to get the behind-the-scenes look at what goes on in the athletic department and among the coaches and athletes here at Eastern Mount University. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics, and I have the privilege of recording this podcast directly from the ODAC board meetings that have just concluded. And my special guest today is going to be Commissioner of the Old Dominion Athletic Conference, Brad Bankston. And we are in between our board meetings, which are held every end of May or 1st of June. Board is made up of the athletic directors of all of the individual schools and the three staff persons who work in the ODAC office. We spend about 2.5 days in meetings. We do a lot of recreation together as well. We are at the Wintergreen Resort, so it's a great opportunity for us to do some relaxing after a very grueling school year. So today in our podcast, I'm going to touch on a number of topics, and Brad, I'm going to ask him to jump in here every once in a while and give you a little bit of what has been going on. I'm going to first of all recap some of what we did in our board meetings. The last 2 years I've had the opportunity of chairing the board, and it's not always an easy task to try to keep everybody on task and move them in a direction. This group gets along very well with each other, and sometimes we almost go to consensus too much, and it takes us a long time to talk about a topic, and sometimes we spend almost too much time, according to some people, on any one topic. But it is a great group to work with. I am very, very pleased to call all of these my colleagues, and we work very well together on that. So welcome, Brad. Why don't you just give us a little bit of a history of our meeting here at Wintergreen, and we meet in December and also in the summertime here. Give us a little bit of just your perspective on what we do when we get together and how important it is for you in terms of you giving leadership to the conference.
Now, Dave, thanks for having me on as a guest of the podcast, and certainly thanks to you for your service and time serving as the chair of this group, because as you said, it's a difficult task at times, but most often than not, it's a pleasurable group to be around, and keeping everybody on task over the number of agenda items that we have sometimes proves to be difficult. But I think this week we accomplished quite a bit. It really, after a year of having a lot of changes last year and maintaining the status quo at the same time doing a lot of educational programming moving forward. But you know, the history of being here, we've been here a number of years, and a number of years ago, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, we decided that we were going to have a retreat in the spring and an opportunity for the ADs to visit together, to socialize, to have a chance to hopefully recharge the batteries a little bit after a long year, as you said. And in the winter, we do a much more concise agenda as well as time frame. We come in, we have dinner together, we meet briefly on a Monday evening, and we rotate that around the campuses of the ODAC, giving everybody a chance to see a new building that may have been built on a campus, and oftentimes in new ADs, perhaps the first visit that they've had to that campus. So it's been very successful. It's been a good formula for us, and oftentimes in those December meetings, we have an opportunity to meet a member of that school's administration, either through a reception, dinner, and or both, and a welcome. And I just think it's a good idea for us not to lose sight that, you know, we've got vibrant campuses and we shouldn't always look for somewhere else to meet. It's important to make sure that we're paying homage to our members and visiting those campuses.
Well, I certainly appreciate all the work that the staff does to provide for for these meetings. And I will say that the work of the board is not a lot unlike the work that I do and all of us as athletic directors do. It's balancing the needs and the interests of each individual sport that you sponsor. And so we do spend a lot of time hearing reports from each sport committee and trying to want them to do the best for their sport, but sometimes that leads us in a little direction where they might not always have the total picture of what's going on, and we have to sort of curtail some of that and work with it. Two items that I see coming out from this meeting that we're going to touch on is the 4 or 5 week non-traditional season. For those sports that do have a non-traditional season, the NCAA has always said that you have 16 opportunities for practice and competition in your non-traditional season. And years ago, the conference said, let's make that 4 weeks to reduce the amount of time. And there's been some movement recently to say, maybe we ought to go to 5, then you're only meeting 3 times a week rather than 4 for four times a week, and it may be less impacting on the academic pursuit of the student athlete. So this at this meeting, we determined to give the flexibility back to the individual schools to say if they want a four-week or if they want a five-week non-traditional season. The total number of times they meet is doesn't change, but it does give that flexibility. And I know for some of us, with Tuesday and Thursday labs, this will become a pretty important thing if we choose to go that way. The second one that we dealt with, again, these all may seem minor to those of you listening in, but we have asked the coaches to convene their meetings prior to the season rather than after the season. And we're going to try to throw some more educational pieces into it so that they can look in preparation for the season. We're going to try to do the preseason polls at that time, and I think it's going to be a good opportunity for them to come together with a lot of excitement and interest in the start of a season rather than meeting after the season when they can review all the things that have gone a little haywire for them. So we worked on that as well. The other one that we dealt quite a bit of time with was the budget, and as we all know, things get tighter all the time. We've had corporate sponsorships, and Brad, why don't you just give us a little bit of history of the corporate sponsors that we have had and what that has been able to do for our budget?
Well, we've had one long-standing relationship with a car dealership that not only has branches in the Roanoke Valley, but also has branches in the Suffolk area around Chesapeake. But primarily, the relationship started with First Team Auto Mall, and they started sponsoring our Player of the Year award that we created a number of years ago back in the late 1990s. They've been strong supporters of the conference and the mission of the league. And over the course of the last 7 or 8 years, we had extensive interest in our basketball tournament and corporate interest, local interest within the Salem area, as well as statewide interest of alumni perhaps that work for a specific company or in this case, Farm Bureau Insurance, and insurance agents that were engaged in following our teams in the conference and pursued Farm Bureau to help us with the basketball tournament. And as a direct result, after several years of helping with the basketball tournament, Farm Bureau came forward and with interest to sponsoring issues across the league, including our Commissioner's Cup, which is our all sports award. And we had awarded that this week as well. And we'll have a little photography ceremony tomorrow with Washington and Lee winning the women's in the overall cup and Lynchburg College capturing the men's cup. And Farm Bureau also helps us out with the Scholar Athlete of the Year Award, which we provide for all of our sports within the ODAC that's selected by the Sports Information Directors. So, you know, we've struggled, at least internally with the board, understanding the significance of corporate sponsorship on the bottom line with our budget, how dependent we want to be on that moving forward. And it's always a challenge, as you said, when you start talking about dependency on dollars and then things going backwards a little bit budgetarily, not only on campus, but you know, we need to do our due diligence in the conference office as well to run our operations as slim a fashion as possible, as frugally as we can. I believe we do that. At the same time, recognizing the importance of conference office staff, not myself included, but our staff in the office, and keeping their salaries competitive, because we have two wonderful individuals in our office, and J.J. Nekoloff and Molly Robertson, who do yeoman's work in maintaining the daily activities of what the conference is all about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the corporate sponsorships that we have are either two or three-year agreements, and one of them is coming up, and we don't know the answer to that, so it was tough for us to do our budget. But we sat down and asked the question, if we don't get the corporate sponsorship, then where do we go? Do we reduce salaries? Do we give every school another assessment? And each school is handling their own financial issues differently, but many of them have not had raises for a while. And so we're just trying to find what is a sustainable model. And I think Brad has really helped give some leadership to us asking that question, how reliant do we want to be on corporate sponsorship? It's one thing for us as Eastern Mennonite or any other institution to find sponsors in their local community. Here you're talking about it's a nice big footprint, it's all the state of Virginia, but then you've got to find a corporation that has that much and how much visibility they'd get out of it. So we dealt with a budget issue. We celebrated Special Olympics and all the events that we've had there. Great to have two representatives with us last evening, and we had a little time to share some of the different activities that people have been doing with Special Olympics, and that will continue for this year. And we're asking each school in the ODAC to come up with some event or events and relationship building with the Special Olympics. So that was special. We also gave out the male and female Athlete of the Year or award in Berkeley and Jobson. And we're not going to say a lot about that because I think that'll come out later just in case someone is listening in on here. One of the things that we did deal with, and I'd like you to touch on this, Brad, is just so people understand the behind workings. We decide every year what to do with our Tier 1, 2, and 3 funding. Tier funding comes from the NCAA Division 3. And again, I'm not going to get into all the differences between Division 1 and 3. And we are the certainly the little sister to everybody else that goes on in Division 1 and 2. But they do provide some significant funds for us. Could you just talk a little bit about the tier funding? You don't have to get real specific with it, but about how much money comes in. And then over the years, how have we used it as both either a conference and or schools?
Well, the tier money was an original idea that came out of the Budget Committee and really directed by the presidents of Division 3. Related into a concern, frankly, when they started accumulating a little bit of a reserve within Division III and wondering, you know, we're spending a tremendous amount of money on our championships. What are we doing for educational issues within Division III and making Division III relevant and allowing the national office to really help the membership encourage some initiatives that they may have coming forward, not only nationally but regionally and even conference-wide. So The division made a decision that they were going to spend 75% of their annual income that comes from the operational expenses of the NCAA and the revenues of the NCAA. They decided that they were going to spend 75% on championships and 25% on educational opportunities. And the educational piece grew into from a technology grant that was given to every Division III league of $10,000 at least 12 years ago or more. Into what now is, for us, over a $60,000 grant. Wow. That our conference receives every year, earmarked for a number of things, one tier being Tier 1 with professional development and spreading that money around not only the conference office but also opportunities for our members to travel to regional rules conferences, to faculty athletic rep meetings, to senior women's administrator meetings and development programs for minorities as well as females in the in Division III athletics. And then Tier 2 is a very flexible piece that we're getting ready to spend a good chunk of money on over the course of the next couple of days with our Integration Institute that is an opportunity for us to gather people together in one setting and hear some commonalities across the conference, conferences across the country and institutions across the country of how do they do their job of balancing academics and athletics on their campus. And I think anybody listening to this would probably have the natural assumption that a Division III institution already does a good job at that. And I think that's fair to assume that, that it is something that's at the top of the radar screen. And in often cases, Division I institutions attempting to do the same thing again, but it never hurts to hear a different perspective and hear some of the trials and tribulations and best practices that people have related to working with faculty as well as coaches and student athletes and fans and constituents in their respective areas. So we're going to have that this weekend. That's going to spend our Tier 2 money that's earmarked for a number of things, including student athlete welfare, gender equity, diversity, and sportsmanship programming. So we'll handle that. And then Tier 3 is much the same as it was before, which was a technological grant that allows us to not only distribute monies to our institutions, but also help fund technological advances in software and hardware in the conference office and some championship enhancements. So it's a great thing. I don't think a lot of people probably would even know that that exists. And it's a large sum of money that's distributed out to the Division III membership each and every year.
Well, I can certainly vouch for Eastern Mennonite being given some of that money in the way we've been able to use it, particularly in the, as you talked about the rules seminars, we need to go every 3 years, and to have that funded is Ron Stolzfus, our FAR, has gone to a national conference as well. Being able to do the Integration Institute, I will say that just so people are aware, we are at Wintergreen. We're all paying for that individually from our schools, so that isn't part of the tier money, but it is a great opportunity for us here. You mentioned the Integration Institute, and I want to end our podcast with that. We had one. There aren't many that are doing this in a conference or in the NCAA, I don't believe. And we've had the opportunity of of having connections with a professor from Guilford College who's been involved in some of this college sports project and some other things and has really gotten going. Could you just highlight some of the special things? We've invited presidents, direct reports. Those would be the people that we as director of athletics report to, and some it's on the academic side, some it's the president, many people it's the student affairs person, and our faculty athletics reps. So Lauren Swartzentruber, Ken Nafsinger, and Ron Stahlfuss from EMU are all coming down here this evening. We're going to get started. Can you talk, Brad, just about some of the topics that will be covered and maybe some of the people that are coming in? And then my podcast next week, I hope to have one of the three guests from EMU that are here. I hope to have them on the podcast here. But maybe just give us a little bit of a highlight of some of the things that will be covered in the next day and a half.
Yeah, it's a lot of information crammed into a little bit of time. But tonight, we'll start off with a welcome reception and then move straight into our keynote address, which will be delivered by Reverend Dr. David Joyce, who is the president of Brevard College, who just recently took that position and will be moving into his new position at Brevard this past January. Had previously been at Ripon College in Wisconsin, which was a Division III member and also serving on the Division III President's Council. We really gave President Joyce a wide range of topics. Mm-hmm. And said, tell us a little bit about your experiences, some of the challenges that you've had over your time. He's been in a number of institutions, including now a Division II institution and an NAIA institution prior to being at Ripon, and really get people fired up for what we're going into on Friday. And we'll start out very early on Friday with a panel discussion that will highlight a direct report, a faculty athletic rep, and an athletic director's perception of integration, the challenges involved in each of those positions on their individual campuses. We have an individual by the name of Michelle Hall, the Dean of Students at Oglethorpe outside of Atlanta, the AD at Wittenberg University in Ohio, Garnet Purnell, and Chris Walker, who is the FAR Emeritus at the University of Redlands outside of Los Angeles. So we've got a wide range of people speaking on a panel in the morning. We'll start things off bright and early prior to that with Bob Malikoff, giving us an overview of last time that we had our Integration Institute in 2006. And Bob did his dissertation studying the ODAC and perceptions of academics and athletics on our campuses. So he's going to give us a brief summary of that, which may frame our conversations moving into the rest of the day. We'll go into breakout sessions. We'll talk about the panel. We'll come back, and we have a celebrity with us, I would say, and Janet Judge, who is a president of a sports law group in New England, and is an expert on a number of issues, including Title IX. So Janet will have an opportunity to address the group about Title IX around lunchtime tomorrow. We'll move into another breakout session following that for our FARs, and welcome John Bittescombe, who is the Director of Athletics at Wesleyan University in New England as well, a member of the NESCAC Conference that competes against Williams and Amherst on an annual basis. John is retiring, but one thing that he has is a tremendous amount of experience and wisdom, and he's going to address our group related to mentoring coaches with keeping integration in mind. And Dave, you know, just even in our own conference meeting, the number of times we reference professional development of our coaches and the opportunity that we have to mold them professionally. And oftentimes, the majority of our ADs now are fundraising. They're out. They're helping recruit. They're on the road. And one of the things that falls by the wayside oftentimes, I think, is that mentoring relationship that at one time probably existed. And as we wrap up the day, we'll finish it up with a session on hazing and social networking. And Janet will wrap things up for us. And what she has told me last night is not only scary, but extremely entertaining. So I don't know what she has up her sleeve tomorrow. My guess is she's been on the EMU website and pulled off some good pictures of the AD and some of the other administration. But no, she'll do a wonderful job. And our attempt here is to really get our direct reports more engaged. The last time we had presidential involvement, we had faculty involvement, which was a direct result of having more presidential involvement, more active presidential involvement, as well as our FARs meeting on an annual basis, which has been wonderful for the league. In this case, I hope it brings our direct reports together with an opportunity to share and to listen and hear some things that I think we hear a lot oftentimes, the preaching of integration, especially from Bob Malikoff and others that we've had speak to us in the past. And I think we're very intentional about it. But I think it's important to know that some of these other individuals that will be with us haven't heard this before, and it's a good thing.
Well, that's truly important. I would say your comment about Division III, we would all assume that it's a a good balance of academics and athletics. And while we strive for that, the reality is still everybody wants a winner. So our coaches are out trying to get the best players they can, and that doesn't always mean they're the best students. And so we face some of the same issues. We just don't have the scholarships involved with it. And sometimes we can lose sight of the mix between, because we want our athletes to excel, and so we want them to put in the time and the energy, and sometimes that does impact on the academics. So this is a great opportunity. I hope you've been able to hear from the wide range of people we have from different experiences how valuable this is going to be to hear from some other people, because we can be pretty provincial in this particular way. And I do think it's extremely important that direct reports are involved, because as you mentioned, Brad, and as an athletic director, I am doing fundraising, I'm doing a lot of things, and even to be an advocate for the academic side, if we can get the direct reports, who are usually more involved in the inner circle of the administration and relating to faculty, that is the key. There are some situations, I'm sure, in which the academic side looks and doesn't feel quite as comfortable with the coaching side. But if we can get the direct report to be the one who sits around that table and advocates for it, I think it's going to be a great opportunity. So we are really looking forward to this. And we had one 5 or 6 years ago, and we're really looking forward to hearing some new ideas and coming out of this, and great use of the funds, there's no doubt about that. And it's something that hopefully we can build on in the future. Well, I want to thank you for joining us in our podcast today. Again, I've been reporting from Wintergreen, where we've had our ODAC board meetings, and now moving into the Integration Institute. As I mentioned last week, we will be on every week, and next week I hope to bring in a little more wrap-up of the Integration Institute and how well it went. And so thanks again for joining us. My guest has been Brad Bankston, the Commissioner of the Old Dominion Athletic Conference, and it has been a wonderful time for us here as a board, and look forward to the Integration Institute, and I hope that you will join us all next week. And until then, I invite you to make it a great week.